A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 27 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Friday, 19th March Father, we come to you with open hearts to worship and to love you and to ask you to grant us grace to love others so selflessly as you did love us and died for us. We admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your best for our lives more times than we could count. Please forgive us for all the times we have sinned against you and against others. We were wrong and we are truly sorry. Please forgive us for all our shortcomings. And if there are any additional sins that we are still struggling with and that we are not aware of yet, please reveal them to us and let us deal with them by your grace. We truly desire to please you with every area of our lives. Please help us to do so. We can't do this without your help. Dear Lord, no matter what trials await us today and even tomorrow, and any troubles that we face, may we never forget the blessings you have shown us and the ways you have delivered us from our troubles. Help us to cling to you as our anchor. Help us remember your steadfast love and faithfulness for us in all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, the verses 31 to 38. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once." Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. But why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I am ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Jesus has now left. Judas has now left Jesus and the other disciples, and he is off to do what the devil has placed in his heart to do, partly because of his greed and selfishness. Jesus now turns to the other disciples and tells them that the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into glory, and God will be glorified because of him. The glory of Jesus Christ has come, and that glory is the cross. In effect, Jesus says to his disciples, you can relax now because the tension is gone. Any doubts that remained have been finally removed. I am definitely going to the cross. Judas has gone out, and the cross is a certainty. And Jesus says, in him God would be glorified, and God himself will glorify Jesus. But how will God glorify Jesus? At the moment of Jesus' discourse, the cross was his glory, but there was more to come. The resurrection, the ascension, the full and final triumph of Christ, which is what the New Testament calls his second coming. In the cross, Jesus found his own glory, but the day came and the day will come when that glory will be demonstrated to all the world. After humiliation would come the glorification of Christ. After crucifixion would come his enthronement. The crown of thorns must change into the crown of glory. After the cross, the king will enter into a triumph which all the world can see. Now, after stating that he will be entering into glory and that God will be glorified because of him, Jesus goes on to lay down his farewell commandment to his disciples. Little children, I am still going to be with you for a little while. You will search for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you too, you cannot go where I am going. I give you a new commandment that you love one another, that you too love one another as I have loved you. It is by this that all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among each other. Jesus was going on a journey which none could accompany him. He was taking a route that he needed to walk alone. And before he went, he gave them the commandment that they must love one another as he had loved them. But what kind of love was Jesus referring to when he spoke to his disciples and to us? The first is that it was selfless love, because he loved them selflessly. Now let us think of how we love. No matter how much we confess our love for others, there is always an element of self in our love. We often think, maybe unconsciously, of what we are to get from loving somebody. We think of happiness we will receive, or of the loneliness we will suffer if love fails or is denied. What will this love do for me? We ask. So at the back of our minds, it is our happiness that we are seeking when we love. And when people get married, sometimes they only think of how they would find happiness in the marriage relationship and not really how they would make the other person happy. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, never thought of himself when he loved. His one desire was to give himself and all he had for those he loved. Because real love loves not what it imagines to gain from the person it loves, but what it would give despite the coldness of the other's love. And in giving love, we receive love. The heart of Jesus is big enough to love us as we are. And the second is that Jesus loved his disciples forgivingly. Peter, the apostolic spokesperson, would deny him. The rest of the apostolic band would forsake him in his hour of need. These disciples never understood Jesus in the days of his flesh. They were blind and insensitive. They were slow to learn and lacking in understanding. In the end, they were all cowards. But Jesus Christ held nothing against them. There was no failure which he could not forgive. The love which has not learned to forgive cannot do anything else but shrivel and die. All of us, dear friends, are poor creatures, and there are many things we do which hurt those who love us best. For that reason, love that would last must be built on forgiveness, for without forgiveness, it is bound to die. Dear friend, do you know anything about forgiving love? Are you keeping somebody in your heart or mind, and you are determined never to forgive that one because they have wronged you in one way or the other? If Jesus could forgive helpless and unworthy sinners like you and myself, why wouldn't we forgive others too? Again, do you know anything about selfless love? Love that is directed towards others even if they do not love us. Love that is sacrificial and love that lasts. On December 2nd, 2012, Spanish athlete Iván Fernández Anaya was competing in a cross-country race in Bolada, Navarre. He was running second some distance behind race leader Abel Mutai, bronze medalist in the 3,000-meter steeplechase at the London Olympics. As they entered the finishing straight, he saw the Kenyan runner, the certain winner of the race, mistakenly pull up about 10 meters before the finish, thinking he had already crossed the line. Fernandez quickly caught up with him. But instead of exploiting Mutai's mistake to speed past and claim an unlikely victory, he stayed behind and, using gestures, guided the Kenyan to the line and let him cross first. "I didn't deserve to win it," says 24-year-old Fernandez Anaya at the time. "I did what I had to do." He was the rightful winner. He created a gap that I couldn't have closed if he hadn't made a mistake. As soon as I saw he was stopping, I knew I wasn't going to pass him. Dear friends, I hardly know a better example of selflessness in human life and as humbling as this one, apart from that of Christ Jesus, the God-man. At least one person commented on that story by saying, "It was a very good gesture of honesty, a gesture of the kind that isn't made anymore, or rather, of the kind that has never been made. A gesture that I myself wouldn't have made. I certainly would have taken advantage of it to win." There are many, many, many people in our world that have a similar perspective. They believe the only way to win in life is to be out in front, ahead of those around them. Yet our Lord, when he was on this earth, taught the exact opposite. He told us things like, "The way up is down. The way to the first chair is to take the last chair. The way to live is to die. The way to win is to be willing to lose for others. Winning in this world is climbing up the ladder of success. But as you are going up, never forget that our Savior found victory by coming down. God, our Heavenly Father, it's so easy to get so caught up in doing things for you that we forget to spend enough time simply being with you. Please help us grow in close, intimate relationship with you and with fellow people as we continue in these 40 days of Lenten prayers for spiritual renewal. We don't just want to know a few things about you, God. We want to know you and to be known by you. God, we confess we have a tendency to worry or play it small, preferring to stick with what feels safe and comfortable. We doubt what you can or will do. But God, you created the universe, you conquered death. There is nothing you can't do because of the love that you have for us. Please strengthen our faith and help us to trust in you for every one of our needs today. As we go about our busy day, we ask that you give us a sense of peace and calm. Help us not to get stressed out, worried, or frantic by all the problems we see around us. Instead, please give us a sense of peace and calm that comes from knowing you are in control. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and evermore. Amen.